When we look at other parts of this earth upon which we live, we find that black, brown, red, and yellow people in Africa and Asia are getting their independence. They're not getting it by singing, "We shall overcome." No, they're getting it through nationalism. It is nationalism that brought about the independence of the people in Asia. Every nation in Asia gained its independence through the philosophy of nationalism. Every nation on the African continent that has gotten its independence brought it about through the philosophy of nationalism. And it will take black nationalism that to bring about the freedom of 22 million Afro-Americans here in this country where we have suffered colonialism for the past 400 years.
It's the Reader's Notebook for Friday, May 19th, 2017. Power in defense of freedom is greater than power in behalf of tyranny and oppression, because power, real power, comes from our conviction, which produces action, uncompromising action. Those are the words of Malcolm X, the African-American leader and prominent figure in the Nation of Islam, who powerfully articulated the concepts of race pride and black nationalism. Due largely to his efforts, this movement grew from a mere 400 members at the time he was released from prison in 1952 to more than 40,000 members by 1960. Born Malcolm Little on May 19, 1925 in Omaha, Nebraska, he was articulate, passionate, and a naturally gifted and inspirational orator who exhorted blacks to cast off what he called the shackles of racism by any means necessary, including violence. This stance put him in direct opposition to Dr. Martin Luther King and others affiliated with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Malcolm was the fourth of eight children born to Louise and Earl Little. His father was a preacher who was also a member of the Universal Negro Improvement Association and a firm supporter of black nationalist Marcus Garvey. Because of his activism, his family was subjected to persecution from the Ku Klux Klan and one of its splinter factions, the Black Legion. In fact, Malcolm X had his first encounter with racism before he was even born. "When my mother was pregnant with me, a party of hooded Klan riders galloped up to our home," he said. "Brandishing their shotguns and rifles, they shouted for my father to come out." The harassment continued, and to protect his family, Earl Little moved them from Omaha to Milwaukee in 1926, and then on to Lansing, Michigan in 1928. The racism the family encountered in Lansing proved even greater than what they encountered in Omaha. Shortly after they moved in 1929, a racist mob set their house on fire, and the town's all-white police force and firemen came and simply stood around watching as the house burned to the ground. 2 years later, in 1931, Earl Little's body was discovered lying across the streetcar tracks. Although Malcolm's family believed his father was murdered, the police officially ruled Earl's death a streetcar accident, thereby voiding the large life insurance policy he had purchased in order to provide for his family in the event of his death. Malcolm's mother never recovered from the shock of losing him, and in 1937 she was committed to a mental institution, where she remained for the next 26 years. Malcolm and his siblings were separated and placed in foster homes. His youth was troubled, and he fell into a life of crime, imprisoned for theft in 1946. There he converted to the Nation of Islam, and upon his release in 1952, he abandoned his surname Little, which he considered a relic of slavery, in favor of the name X, a tribute to the unknown name of his African ancestors. In 1963, Malcolm became deeply disillusioned when he learned that his hero and mentor, Nation of Islam founder Elijah Muhammad, had violated many of his own teachings, and Malcolm left the movement the following year. He converted to traditional Islam and again changed his name, this time to Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz. He became less angry and more optimistic about the prospects for peaceful resolution of America's race problems. Tragically, just as he appeared to be embarking on an ideological transformation with the potential to dramatically alter the course of the civil rights movement, he was assassinated on February 21, 1965, at the Audubon Ballroom in Manhattan, where he had been preparing to deliver a speech. I'm J.D. Reeder, and this is the Reader's Notebook for May 19, 2017. Write it on your heart that every day is the best day of the year.